In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we celebrate this great feast of Palm Sunday, what is called the triumphant entry of our Lord into Jerusalem, to help us understand this feast, I look ahead to something that is to come this week. And again, I stress this week, we should put aside, as we say in the hymn, all earthly cares. And we should make sure that we're here in the church as much as possible to go through this beautiful week, this holy week, where we hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel readings, the teaching during the last week of his life, the intense teaching. I know the morning services can be difficult. If you can make it work in your schedule, that's wonderful, but especially prioritize the evening services when most of us are not working. And if you are here on Thursday evening, and if you're here on Friday, you'll see an icon in the back when you come into the church. There's always icon to venerate. Today you have the raising of Lazarus, and you have Jesus entering Jerusalem on the donkey with the children with the palm branches. On Thursday and Friday during the day, you will see the icon that we call the icon of extreme humility. It is Jesus with his arms crossed, dead, having been crucified and being placed in a tomb, showing that the acts of God, the glory of God, is in his extreme humility and teaching us to be the same. I bring this up because today we see, once again, our Lord acting in a humble manner. You know, we in the church, just like we say, the King of Glory, and it's Christ being crucified, you wouldn't think that that was God's glory. If you were to see the way that people act in this world, including ourselves many times. And if you saw Jesus entering into Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday, so to speak, his entry was anything but triumphant in the eyes of the world. It was triumphant only in the eyes of God. Why? Because it was done with humility. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into the city riding a stupid donkey. I was telling my kids this week, you know, that's where you get the term dumbass. It's not anything to do with your behind. It's to do with a stupid animal. The same stupid animal that Jesus rode into Jerusalem as the king. How can this be? Do you ever see any kings of this world riding on donkeys? No. Today they have often nice vehicles, but sometimes you'll even see them on stallions. They're not going to be caught on a stupid animal like a donkey. We see our Lord Jesus Christ being greeted today as he enters the holy city of Jerusalem by two things that are called out in the gospel. You didn't hear it in the reading of the Gospel of St. John. You'll hear it, you heard it at Matins if you were here, and you'll hear it after the procession when we read that gospel again. The children. It was the crowds and the children. Both of these, in the context of Jesus' time in the Roman Empire, would not have been respected. The crowds means the plebs, the people who have nothing. They've got nothing better to do than to go and nose about and see what the heck is going on. Who's coming into the city? Do you see any important people there? No. It's just the crowds. And then you see the children, who the children in the Roman Empire didn't have rights. Even though it wasn't a common practice, it was legal. Infanticide. There was a problem with your child. You didn't like them. They had a disability, whatever. You could discard them. You know, it was actually an interesting historical fact. It was actually the Christians who would go out and pick up children who were discarded in the Roman Empire when families didn't want them because they had some sort of a problem, a birth defect, whatever it may be. And the Christians would go out and gather them up and take them into their own homes. But we see in Jesus entering into Jerusalem today, so-called triumphantly, not at all like the triumph of this world, but in humility, which will culminate in the act, as we say again, in that icon that you'll see on Thursday and Friday, of extreme humility. And brothers and sisters, it has been a constant conflict for us Christians since that day, since that time, since the crucifixion. It has been a constant conflict within ourselves, within our communities, to try to live up to the gospel teaching. Why? Because it is so difficult for us to do. Jesus set such a wonderful and beautiful and perfect example that it is constantly up to us to try to live up to that example, and we find it difficult. But even when we sin, and especially I should say because we sin, we should never lower the bar. The bar is Jesus Christ. That's how we try to live. And yes, it can be difficult for us. And yes, we face conflicts in this world, but that is always the bar. It especially became difficult for Christians to live out the gospel from the time of the Emperor Constantine the Great. Why? Because Constantine not only legalized Christianity in the Roman Empire, but he made it the official state religion. And so at that time, it became popular for people to become Christians, whereas before it was not a popular thing. It wasn't something that someone would do for political favor. In fact, you might have the opposite effect if you became a Christian, and that is you would be persecuted. And then you go from that time where the Christians start to build the big churches, and they start to pat themselves on the back at the work of their own hands. Look what we've built. And so we have this constant conflict as Christians to live up to the gospel. And that's why it's so important in our Orthodox tradition that we continue to revere the monastic tradition. The tradition that eschews the things of this world. That says these big beautiful things are not important. What is important is our relationship with God. And therefore, have you ever noticed, if you haven't, hopefully you will now, that most of the saints of the church, almost all of them, not exclusively, but almost all of them, were either persecuted by the civil authorities or they were persecuted by the church and the powers within the church. You see, because they were trying to live the gospel. And there's a conflict in this world where we fall into worldly power and worldly authority, even if, perhaps especially if, we are religious people and religious leaders. And so we have to embrace this conflict and try to live up to the ideals that Jesus taught us. You know, we Orthodox like to make the excuse that we heard in today's gospel reading. When Mary, the sister of Lazarus, poured out the costly ointment on Jesus, and we like to say, look at what she did for Jesus, and he blessed it. Well, what did Jesus say to her? Pay attention. Or what did Jesus say to his disciples, rather? Pay attention to what he said. Number one, she's anointing me for my burial. Okay, so there was a specific purpose. His burial happened, it's taken place. We're not anointing him for his burial. And then, most importantly, the second part of what he said, the poor you will have with you always. Me, you will not always have. In other words, he's gone. He's not here with us today, other than in the icon, in the sacrament of Holy Communion. He's not with us today. Who is with us? The poor. They're still with us. And so Jesus tells us today, just as he told his disciples, when I'm gone, take care of the poor for me. That's your first priority. Many of us can take care of the poor and also have money to take care of the church and to build nice buildings and so forth. But unfortunately, so many times we prioritize the latter over the former. We prioritize beautiful things that our eyes can see versus taking care of the poor, who often disappoint us, who often don't achieve the things that we hope they would achieve with our help. But Jesus didn't ask us to be responsible for measuring that and deciding that. What he told us is to take care of them. And he showed us by his example, both on this feast of Palm Sunday, his entrance into Jerusalem, as well as, again, what you will see on Thursday and Friday, his act of extreme humility. He taught us to fight against the glory of this world, the beauty of the things that we can create in this world, to fight against what society might expect us or teach us to do with our power, and to use our power to serve others. To that Lord who taught us extreme humility be all glory, honor, and worship unto the ages of ages. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens. Thus the faithful pray for the catechumens that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will teach them the word of truth.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will reveal to them the gospel of righteousness.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will unite them to his holy catechumens.